We've been having March for the Family. All of our lessons this month have been about the family, marriage, parenting, even the single as a family unit. And we're continuing on with that. And so my question for you regarding all those relationships, whether we're talking about a marriage relationship or a parent-child relationship or a sibling relationship or even a dating relationship or relationships between singles, just as friends, do you have any idea what the number one greatest tool for any relationship is? The number one most important tool is not hierarchy, understanding everybody's place in the relationship. The most important tool is not goals, everybody knowing where the relationship is going. The number one tool is not even self-evaluation, everybody looking at themselves, figuring out their place. The number one tool for any relationship is communication. Communication. Consider what it says in Psalm 18 and verse 1. In Psalm 18 and verse 1, it says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." The reality is we have two options. Either we will communicate, or, as this verse speaks, we will isolate. Isolate is an interesting word. It comes into our language through the French word isolé, which came from the Latin, insulatus. I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right or not. But interestingly, that word means to make into an island. To make into an island. That's where isolate comes from. I want you to think Simon and Garfunkel's 1965 hit single where they sang, "I am a rock, I am an island." The idea of isolating is the idea of self-preservation, self-protection, self-interest. It's keeping everything that's in my head and in my heart, in my head and in my heart. It is making me an island among men, that even though there are men and women who are around me and there are people who I'm supposedly claiming to be in relationship, what I'm doing is I'm taking that very easy path of I will be my own rock. I will be an island. I will be separate from everyone else. It's very protective as we try to protect ourselves from the vulnerability and the hurt that can come. In opposition to that, we have communication. Instead of isolation, we have communication, which comes into our language from the Latin communicare, to make common, which, by the way, comes into our language from the French commune, which means to be shared by all. This is the thing that I want us to recognize. When we're talking about communication, we're talking about taking what's on the inside of the individual, and instead of being an island, we're talking about building a bridge that will connect us to someone else, taking what is inside and sharing it so that it is common with those who are around us. So I can either make myself an island, or I can make what's going on inside common to be shared by others in these relationships. And that's communication. Reaching out bridges that connect the various islands so that we're no longer separate, but we share and hold in common. And you know what happens as people in relationships share and hold more things in common? In that case, you have connection. A few years ago, John Maxwell authored the book, Everybody Communicates, Few Connect. And in the structure of his book, that title is fine. But the thing I want us to recognize is that if we're talking about really communicating, it's not possible. Because if you are really communicating, then you are really connecting. Communication is not just throwing things out there, just information that's just out there, and maybe somebody will get it. Communication is making that common, getting it out there so that it is shared by those in the relationship, understood and recognized. Therefore, if I am really communicating, I am really connecting. And if I really connected, then I communicated. So I want to talk to us this morning about that idea of communicating in order to connect. I want to talk about putting those bridges out there so that we can have connection in those relationships. And I don't know about you, but when I've read and heard about communication, usually it's talking about fighting. How to fight. How to disagree. How to get... We're going to talk about that tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about how to fight fair. But I think if we can get this lesson down, we won't need tonight's lesson quite as often. And so I want us to just talk about communication. The other thing that often happens whenever we talk about communication is folks tend to emphasize tools and techniques. You know, those little statements, they'll say, look, when you're communicating with people, use I statements, not you accusations. When you're trying to communicate with people, you need to respond back to them by rephrasing the content and reflecting the feeling. And those are all wonderful little tools. We've heard those kind of tools. My problem is, in the midst of communication, I can't ever remember what the tools are. They'll say, I statement, what on earth is an I statement? I don't know. I'm supposed to rephrase the feeling, reflect. It's just confusing. So what I want to talk with you about is not tools and techniques that we have to try to remember all the little individual things and which statements we need to plug in at which times. I want to talk to you about the culture of communication. Whether it's your marriage or your parenting or your family or co-workers or even just friends. I want to talk about the cultures that we need to develop. In fact, I'd like to share with you that a good communicator loves... 5 different cultures. And this is what I want us to learn this morning. Because if we can establish these cultures in our families and in our relationships, the tools and techniques will take care of themselves. If we can establish these proper cultures in our relationships, then we'll remember those things. And in fact, those things, those techniques and tools won't matter quite as much because communication will just happen naturally. Before we get into these 5 cultures, would you please bow with me? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we love you. We praise you. We are so thankful that you did not remain an island, but that you communicated, that you connected, that you established a bridge to us by sending your Son into this world to live as one of us, to proclaim you, to show you so that who you are and what you have done can be commonly shared by us. And we pray, Father, that we will cross that bridge, that we will reach out to you as well. And we ask, Father, that in our marriages and in our families, as we're striving to present Christ and the church to the world, that you will help us be communicators like you are. That you will help us develop cultures in our homes, our marriages, our parenting, our sibling relationships, among friends, between singles, those who are dating. That we will develop these positive cultures that will allow us to communicate in a way that will establish connection and commonness and help to one another as we strive to bring glory and honor to you. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. A good communicator loves a culture of listening. A good communicator loves a culture of listening. It may shock you to know that the bedrock of communication is not the ability to express yourself clearly or to express yourself persuasively. The bedrock of communication is to be able to listen thoroughly and completely. Notice what it says in Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. If your culture of communication in your relationship is merely about self-expression, it's going to be foolish and failed. The bedrock for a communication culture is the ability to listen, to hear what others are saying, and not just what they're saying, but what they're meaning, what is coming from their heart and from their mind, to listen thoroughly. Psalm 20 and verse 5 says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. It's not on the surface. Just hearing the words and being able to put those words together is not necessarily hearing what the person is actually trying to say. And what we need to do if we want to draw out that purpose, it's going to take some serious listening. A good communicator recognizes that even if what's important here is me being able to express to you some information that I need to get out of my heart and mind into yours, the best thing to do first is to start listening to what's in your heart and mind, to know how to connect what I'm needing to share with what I know you're feeling. And that's going to begin with listening. If you're just trying to jump in, and yes, look, I understand there are emergency situations. If you need to yell fire, you don't have to stop and say, okay, so can you tell me all about what's in your heart when we think of the word fire? You know, I understand we don't have to do that. There are times for just jumping in with, here's what you need to know. But when we're talking about our relationships, we need to recognize that the bedrock for your communication is to listen so that you can draw that out. A culture of communication, a culture of listening is going to have three keys, I believe. The first key that we need to recognize is undivided attention. Yes, there are some conversations that are so meaningless that they can be conducted while the TV is still running or while you're reading the newspaper or something else is going on. But as those conversations become more important, as the stakes become higher and the emotions run deeper, there's a time that the TV needs to be shut off, the game needs to be put away, the book needs to be closed up, and our eyes and our ears need to be focused on the person that's talking to us. Undivided attention. I'll tell you, that means if you have really serious conversations with your significant other, you probably don't want to go to the local restaurant because they always have a TV. Man, those TVs are killing communication. We need to have undivided attention, limited interruption. In cases of emergencies, interruptions need to take place. But we need to remember what Psalm 18 and verse 13 says. He who answers before he hears, it is a shame and a folly unto him. Far too often someone's talking and we're not listening. We're not waiting to hear what it is they're saying. We're just waiting to hear for a place for us to jump in and express our opinion. A culture of listening means limited interruption. And finally, a culture of listening means asking questions to understand. Far too often someone's done saying something to us and we've already formulated a response or a refutation or a rejoinder or a rebuttal and we jump in and have no idea that we're actually talking right past them. We haven't understood at all what they're saying. Sometimes we can work up in our minds what they mean and we're completely wrong about it. What we need to do first is start asking questions. Okay, wait a minute. Do you mean this? When you said such and such, this is what I heard. Is that what you meant? It sounded like you're feeling this. Do I understand that correctly? Boy, it sounds to me like you're, this is what you thought. Am I getting that right? Ask questions to understand. And then you know that you've listened and you've heard. But what we need is a culture of listening, a culture that says this is not just about expressing my opinion, but drawing out the purpose in a man's heart by listening, undivided attention, limited interruption, and questions for clarity and understanding. A good communicator loves a culture of listening. A good communicator loves not only a culture of listening, but a culture of openness. A good communicator loves a culture of honesty. Far too many relationships are dysfunctional. And in those relationships, they live by the rules, don't feel, don't trust, and don't talk. But a good communicator says, we're going to have health in this relationship, and that means we talk. We talk about the hard things. We talk about the things that we don't always like. We talk about the things that are embarrassing, because that's the only way to deal with them. We want openness. We want honesty. We talk about, here's what I'm feeling. When you do this, here's how I feel. We talk about consequences. When you do this, here's what's going to happen. A good communicator appreciates openness and honesty. You see, if I'm going to be an island, there are all kinds of things that I'm going to keep hidden in here. I'm going to cover this up. I'm going to hide that. I don't want you to find that out. I'm afraid if you found this out, you would abandon me and leave the relationship. But good communication demands honesty. It demands openness. It says that if our relationship is ever going to get anywhere, I've got to get this stuff out so we can share it in common. And then we can work through it. And then the relationship will move forward. We read Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Remember what it said. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There's actually two sides of this proverb. There's the one that says that if I'm listening to you, I need to be asking the questions. I need to be digging deeper to try to pull out and draw out that purpose that's beneath the surface. But there's also the side that if I am communicating, if I am trying to get some information out, I've got to dig deeper than the surface. I've got to dig down into the deep well of my heart and mind and draw out what is there and put it on the table so that those who are in the relationship can share it commonly. And that's the communication, the connection. This is the most frightening part. This is the most frightening part. And I recognize depending on the relationship, we're going to have different levels of this kind of honesty and openness. Obviously, with God, we need to have an absolutely 100%, no holds barred, open, honest relationship where every single thing is laid out on the table. When it comes to our relationships with other people, the one with the deepest connection and the greatest openness and honesty is going to be the marriage relationship. When we start backing up from that, there are going to be stricter boundaries for relationships from that. I don't need to tell my kids everything that I need to tell my wife. And I don't need to tell my best friend everything that I need to tell my wife. And I don't need to tell you everything that I might tell my best friend. And so we recognize that different relationships may have different levels. So what I want to share with you is some things specifically about marriage. And there's some application to other relationships, but you can make those boundaries in those other relationships. I want to share with you, though, that kind of ultimate with marriage. I really appreciate what Willard Harley says about openness and honesty in marriage. I just want to read his definition to you. He has what he calls the policy of radical honesty. Listen to this. Reveal to your spouse as much information about yourself as you know. Your thoughts, feelings, habits, likes, dislikes, personal history, daily activities, and plans for the future. Let me read that to you again. Reveal to your spouse as much information about yourself as you know. Your thoughts, feelings, habits, likes, dislikes, personal history, daily activities, and plans for the future. I know that's frightening to some. That's frightening to some because we're afraid if they actually knew this, they wouldn't want to be in this relationship with me anymore. And there are some things that perhaps we should have told them before we got into the relationship and dealt with that then. But here's what I hope you recognize. To the degree that you will not open up to your spouse, you will not be connected to that spouse. And there will always be the wedge and the fear that if they knew this, they wouldn't love me. And to the degree that you have that in the relationship, you're going to have limited love and limited connection. I'm just telling you. I'm not going to make any rules for you, but I just want you to know that in my experience, you may think that what you're doing is protecting the relationship by not sharing what's going on inside. But what you're actually doing is driving a wedge that will eventually be a chasm. Here are four things that Harley shares about honesty that I really appreciate, and I think in marriage. Four areas where we need to be open and honest. Emotional honesty. How do you feel about this? I know that in some marriages we're afraid to let our spouse know, here's what I feel when you do this thing, because we're afraid they'll think we're too sensitive or they'll just get upset. But if you don't go ahead and let them know, they're going to keep doing it and it's just going to get worse. We need to be able to say, here's how I feel. Here's how I'm feeling today. Here's how I'm feeling in this situation that's going on. I need to let my spouse know, here's the feelings, the emotional honesty. Here's where I'm struggling. Historical honesty. Here's where I've been. Here's what I've done. You need to know. You're my spouse. Historical honesty. Especially being honest about those aspects that demonstrate weaknesses and struggles. Oh, it would be awful if my spouse knew about my weaknesses. Let me tell you something about your spouse. Your spouse knows your weaknesses. What your spouse needs to know is that you know your weaknesses. I mean, who else do you want helping you with those things other than the person you've committed your life to? Be honest about the history. Current honesty. Here's what today's looking like for me. Here's what's going on with me right now. Here's my plans for today. And future honesty. Here are my dreams. Here are my hopes. Here's where I'm going. I'll tell you what's really great about this. If I am this radically honest with my spouse, you know what it'll be practically impossible for me to do? It'll practically be impossible for me to have an affair. Because can you imagine what would happen if I went to my wife and said, well, today I'm planning on having a secret rendezvous with this lady? Probably not going to happen, is it? If I am completely honest about here's how I'm feeling about things, here's what I've done and where I've been, here's what today looks like, and here's where I'm going, we're going to have connection in a relationship that becomes deep and meaningful and valuable, fulfilling, and it removes the time to go seeking that someplace else. A good communicator loves a culture of openness and honesty. A culture of secrecy that says, oh, here's some things I don't want you to know about. I don't want you to know that I'm going to go deposit money in the secret account that I've set aside because I'm planning on divorcing you in a few years. That's not good communication. That's not going to help your marriage. It's going to destroy it. But being honest, you know what? Being honest and telling your spouse, I need you to know that I set up this account because I'm really upset. Things aren't going well. Here's my future plans. Maybe now you and your spouse can work on it before it's too late. Openness, honesty. A good communicator loves a culture of listening, loves a culture of openness, and loves a culture of value. Valuing the right things, valuing communication, valuing connection, and valuing those who are in these relationships with us. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, I understand this is dealing in a particular context, but there's a principle here that I want us to pull out and apply to what we're dealing with. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I understand that Jesus is talking about the difference between having our treasure in heaven and our treasure on earth. But there's a principle behind this statement. Whatever you treasure, whatever you value, that is where your heart is going to be. What you need to understand is this communication and this connection does not happen accidentally. It will only happen purposefully, and it will only happen when we value it, when we treasure it. Because if we don't treasure it, our heart's not going to be in it. It's just going to be tools and techniques to try to manipulate and get something that we want. But when I value communication, when I value connection, when I value the deep well within my spouse or my friend or my children or my parents, the purpose and the meaning deep inside the heart and mind of the person I'm in the relationship with, when I value that, you want to know what's going to happen? Communication, connection is going to happen. It won't happen accidentally. It'll only happen if we value it. If we do not value that deep meaning, we're not going to seek it. We're not going to look for it. The purpose in a man's heart is deep water. I don't dive deeply unless I'm purposeful and mean to and value that. So the question is, what do you value? I do want to point something out here. This is a little bit of a side note, but I want to take this opportunity to talk just a little bit about modern dating relationship and a mistake that is being made in our culture that's because of misunderstanding this. In my lifetime, our culture has gone from asking the question, is it appropriate to kiss on the first date, to asking the question, is it appropriate to have sex on the first date? And there are far too many people, even good, godly Christians in all other aspects, that get out in those relationships and they spend just a little bit of time together and immediately they move into making out. I don't know. I've heard this. I didn't go to FC, but I remember hearing stories about the golf course. I don't know if that's the place you guys still go. I'm just telling you. When you guys move into that making out and some even into sex, you are doing something that short circuits connection and communication and destines your relationship for shallowness, meaninglessness, and failure. Listen, I get it. This physical exploration is pleasurable. It is thrilling. It is exciting. I know that. But what Satan doesn't want you to know is that if it's not kept in the proper place, it short circuits communication, connection, and relationship. Because when you skip to that part of the relationship right off the bat, you are no longer communicating. It is just a mirage of connection. You're no longer knowing the person or learning the person or finding out what's really in the heart and the mind of the person. Now, I want you to understand, when you've gone through the hard work of connection and communication and you've taken that hard step of commitment in marriage and then you start that part of the relationship, the sexual part, it is wonderful and amazing and it does help you know your spouse better. But when we jump to that in the dating relationship, we're missing out. And then you end up getting married to someone and you don't even know them. And then you end up in my office telling me that 5 years ago you married for the wrong reasons. And I have to tell you, the Bible never talks about the reasons for marriage. It just says, you're married, stay that way. Satan does not want you to understand that when you jump to that part of the relationship, you are short-circuiting the connection. You are losing the communication. I hope you understand that if you have already crossed that line, there's still hope. You can back up. But let me tell you, you need to go talk to the shepherds. And you need to get some advice and you need to get some help and you need some people involved in your life that can help you get back to the appropriate relationship. It's okay, Shane. I'll just stand behind this. Because what we long for you and what the elders long for you and what everybody here longs for is that you can have a deep, meaningful relationship with a person that you commit your life to. And if all you value is the body and the flesh and the physical pleasure, you're going to have a meaningless, shallow, empty marriage. As I've said before, look at the number of beautiful Hollywood stars whose marriages cannot last longer than a year. I'll tell you why. Because you cannot build a deep, meaningful relationship on physical pleasure alone. If you build a deep, meaningful relationship through connection and communication, the physical pleasure can add. But it cannot be the foundation. No matter how fun you think it is in the moment. A good communicator loves a culture of value. Valuing the person, the communication, the connection. A good communicator loves a culture of empathy. A good communicator loves a culture of empathy. Sympathy is being able to feel similar feelings as someone else about an issue. Empathy is about being in the same shoes. It's not just I kind of feel similarly. It's the fact that I am where you are. I'm experiencing what you're experiencing. I'm feeling what you're feeling. I understand. I've walked a mile in your moccasins. I've figured out what it is that's going on inside your heart and your mind. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, it says, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We've often called this the golden rule, but often for us the golden rule has been tarnished. Spoiled. Because we have the idea that what the golden rule means is, what would they like if they were like me. That's not what this is saying. Instead, what this is saying is, what would I want if I were like them? Did you catch the difference between that? Too often we think about this rule of, what would they like if they were like me? That's not what Jesus is saying here. What he's saying is, what would I want? How would I want to be treated if I were like them? A good communicator longs for empathy. A good communicator says, I want to be in their heart and mind. I want to draw out the purpose and the interest that is in the deep well of their heart. I want to know what they're feeling. I want to know why they're feeling it. I want to figure out the experiences that have molded their perspective on this, so that I can think this through and say, what is it? If I were in their shoes, if I was like that, if I had been through what they've been through, if I knew what they knew, if I had heard what they heard, what would I want? Empathy. That's the culture we need to be striving for. And I guarantee you, in most cases, one standard thing that everyone is going to want is gentleness, mercy, compassion. And so the Proverbs, as they talk about expressing this over and over again, talk about gentleness. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, Proverbs 15 and verse 4. In 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And in Proverbs 25 and verse 15, with patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. That's an interesting proverb. A soft tongue will break a bone. It's the idea that the soft, gentle answer, the compassionate, merciful response, can even in the end break something very solid. Empathy. A good communicator longs for that and loves that culture. And finally, a good communicator loves not only a culture of listening, of openness, of value and empathy. A good communicator loves a culture of safety. In many ways, this should have been the first one. But I've got an acrostic to build here. And can you imagine if I put up there, a good communicator loves a culture of slove? That would have been weird. But I also put this last because one of the things I've learned is that folks remember the first thing you say and the last thing you say. And I hope that you remember this. This really kind of undergirds everything else. Listening, openness, value, and empathy all comes when in the relationship there is a feeling of safety. Where it is safe to express what's in my heart. You want your spouse or your child or your parents to pull out that deep meaning that's within the deep well of their heart. You got to make it safe for them to do that. You know, if I stick my hand out, and every time I stick my hand out, it gets slapped. You know what I'm eventually going to stop doing? I'm going to eventually quit sticking my hand out. If I pull out the deep meaning of my heart, the deep purpose of my heart, and I put it on the table to share in common, and it keeps getting stepped on, do you know what I'm eventually going to quit doing? I'm eventually going to quit pulling out the deep purpose of my heart and putting it on the table to try to share in common. A good communicator loves a culture of safety. Think about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 was too long for me to put on the slide, so let's just turn there. Psalm 23. Consider this relationship that the psalmist has with his shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here is the sheep that is safe. The sheep that can lie down in the green pastures because he's not worried about the irritants and the predators that are around, because the shepherd is making it safe. The sheep that can drink from these still waters because the shepherd has made it safe. Even when walking through the valley of the shadow of death, here is a sheep that feels safe. And a psalm like this, the deep purpose of David's heart, can only come out like this because of safety. And so, if you want your spouse or your parent or your child or your friend to draw out that deep purpose, you've got to make it safe for them. If they brought that deep purpose out and it's been met with being belittled or mocked or ridiculed or dismissed, they're going to learn. I can't bring that out in here. It's not safe. And here's the hard part. Do you know who it is that gets to determine whether or not it's safe? The person who is going to be letting out the deep purpose of their heart. Spouses, you don't get to put your finger in your spouse's face and say, "It's safe, you can say whatever you want here." If your spouse is telling you it doesn't feel safe, you need to find out what's amiss and fix it. They get to decide whether or not it's safe to get it out. And so what we need to be doing is asking, "All right, what's not safe? What's not safe? I'll fix it." And yes, sometimes what we communicate is going to have to be hard. But here we have a psalmist that felt so safe that even the staff and rod were appreciated. Why? Because this sheep understood that the staff and rod were only going to be used for its best interests. And when we have that culture of safety, even hard things can be shared and received properly. A good communicator loves a culture of listening, of openness, of value, of empathy, and of safety. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, I can assure you, if you work on these cultures in your family, all the tools and techniques will take care of themselves. You'll have communication. You'll have connection. You'll have depth. You'll have meaning. It's scary. Being a rock, being an island is so much easier. But being a communicator is so much more rewarding. I want to encourage you this morning. Communicate in order to connect. How are you doing at that? If you're going to be using a songbook this morning, would you please pull that out now? I think the slides he's using are coming from a different book, but it's How Sweet, How Heavenly. And so if you want to follow along in the book that we have, it's number 709, How Sweet, How Heavenly. When you think about communication, connecting, sending out a bridge, as we wrap this up, I want to go back to Christ and his church. Because you know what was happening when Jesus came down to the earth and lived among us? The Father was communicating with us. He was making a bridge. He was taking his mind and bringing it into the world so that it could be common to us. Will you walk that bridge? Will you let it be common in your heart and mind? Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, dying for you, being resurrected so that you can be resurrected. He was communicating. Can we accept that and receive it and be connected to him? If you need help with that this morning, or if there's some other spiritual need that you have, or maybe you want us praying for you regarding your communication, your marriage, or your parenting, or whatever you need spiritually, if we can help you with that this morning, won't you please come right now as we stand and sing.